Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're going to kick it off by talking about the Oregon Ducks and check in on their camp and everything's been going on. You unfortunately had the Pittman injury, 6 to 8 week recovery, and then now we're hearing rumors about Juwan Johnson leaving practice. So joining us now for an update on the wide receivers and all things Oregon Ducks is Justin Hopkins of ScoopDuck.com. He's on Twitter at JHopkinsSD, and he joins us now. Good to have you on, J-Hop, once again up here in Portland. What's the latest with Juwan Johnson? I saw the tease on the Twitter, and what is the latest from him and what you're hearing?
Well, for starters, I'm a little bit upset you guys didn't ask me about my male enhancement pills, you know. No.
What gas station do
Which
you
Which kind
prefer?
Do you go with, J-Hop? The blue pill or the red pill?
Worst shopping experience at Walmart ever. Ever. No, just kidding.
At least you're honest. That's all we want is honesty.
That's right.
Yeah. Honesty is the truth. Yeah. So anyways, yeah, Juwan Johnson, you know, that group to start with, even prior to the season, was pretty shallow and needed a lot of help in recruiting. And then you add graduate transfer Juwan Johnson. With Schooler down and Pittman down, you know, that becomes an even bigger injury on its own there. But it sounds like it's pretty good news. You know, calf strain is what it appears to be at this moment. You know, they're taking it precautiously, give him time, get him back, get him healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully this doesn't turn out like the Kevin Durant saga with his calf strain. But all reports, everything that I've been able to get so far suggests that they're just taking it slow. He could play this weekend if he needed to. Should be good to go for Auburn, which is a huge, huge, huge boost for Oregon.
Yeah, it's good that it didn't happen the week of the game. No doubt about that. So that's good news. The Pittman one, though, wasn't good news. And Oregon confirmed all the reports, yours as well. 6 to 8 weeks, he's going to be out. So you just kind of cross your fingers. Maybe a miracle. He's back by Stanford, if not back by the start of October. So looking at the wide receiver depth and Juwan Johnson, let's stay positive and say he's going to play against Auburn and this holds true and everything's going to be okay. What are the names? I mean, I know Schooler's down as well, but I've heard Brian Addison could be a guy that surprises a little bit. I've heard Spencer Webb maybe playing a little wide receiver. Like, how are we feeling about the rest of that position group?
Yeah, overall, this is the name Duck fans need to hear, and that's Johnny Johnson. I know that he played and started in games last year, had some of his struggles, had some drop balls. I get all that. But everything I've heard so far suggests that he's had a really, really good camp. And this is even in light of the injuries. So it would appear that he's probably more than likely going to be in that starting trio. And from what I hear, you know, it sounds like he's taken that next step forward, which is all you can ask for. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Jaylon Redd is there as well and has experience from last year. So that's good. But past that, yeah, like you said, you're really counting on a Brian Addison to kind of put it all together. He's got the length. You know, he's a great route runner. He's actually quicker than you would expect for a guy his height. If he can put everything together on the field, he can be a huge impact sort of guy, you know, this season for Oregon. And beyond that, just coming out of the receiver group, they haven't been healthy at tight end. You know, Cam McCormick hasn't really practiced to date. Jacob Breland's been in and out of practice. Mm. They look to be getting both those guys back in a pretty full capacity within the next day or two. And that's a very, very big boost on its own. So, you know, it's not to make light of some injuries that are pretty big at this point, but it certainly looks like the Ducks could be getting relatively healthy, hopefully gearing up for Auburn this next weekend.
Justin Hopkins is our guest, ScoopDuck.com. He's on Twitter at JHopkinsSD. The latest from Oregon's camp is they're getting ready for Auburn. Next Saturday is the big matchup down in Dallas. You know, J-Hop, we were talking before you came on about the national media is, they're doing their prediction stuff and college football playoff predictions. And we've seen three already from national pundits on different websites. They're putting Oregon in the playoff. There seems to be a bit of a disconnect. A lot of fans, I feel like, aren't ready to quite go there, but the national pundits are feeling like this team is playoff worthy. What say you?
Well, my guess for that is they see Oregon is a very strong team in the trenches. And I think that goes a long ways. If you look at a lot of the teams that have done the bulk of the winning the last few years, they're very physical at the line of scrimmage, and they have an NFL-caliber quarterback. Mm-hmm. Well, if those are your requirements, which I have a feeling, you know, those are a lot of the requirements from those national pundits, I think they see that and see a recipe for success. Myself, I see, you know, a lot of difficult games on the road, which give me pause. I see a receiver group that is facing some injuries, which give me a little bit of pause. Vegas has the line set at 8.5. So if Oregon wins 8 or 9 games either side of that number, that's probably not enough to get into the playoffs. Mm. So for myself, you know, I have a tough time betting against Vegas. They make oodles of money every year for a reason. You know, so for me, I'm looking at, okay, is this an 8 or 9 win season? If it is, I do consider that to be a form of success. But those fans that are buying into this being a national championship team or a playoff team will be upset if this team only wins 9 games, which I'm not sure is exactly fair, just because the Pac-12 is really wide open. I mean, you've got Washington, which is going to be a good team. Utah is going to be a good team. Stanford's going to be a good team. And there's some wild cards out there like USC and Cal. They might not be bad teams overall, and Washington State. So it's going to be tough sledding for Oregon. Just such a wide range of outcomes for them and for Washington and others. I'm not ready to buy in just yet, but I can see why these pundits are giving Oregon the benefit of the doubt.
Hmm. We know one thing that needs to go right, if you want to have the success you want to have, is injuries. And I think that was a concern for Oregon that maybe wasn't highlighted enough last year, was the depth. I mean, you saw Penei Sewell goes down against Washington, and the offensive line just looked different for a couple of weeks until he was able to come back. We just had a Georgia guy on a while back who said he thinks Georgia's 33 deep on both sides of the ball with starter caliber players, which is mind-boggling. How are you feeling about Oregon's depth this year? I know it's kind of a macro question all over the place, and we mentioned the wide receivers, but how do you feel like they can sustain injuries this year as opposed to last year?
They can sustain them better, but it doesn't mean that they're all the way there yet. I mean, obviously, the only way to improve that is through recruiting. And Mario Cristobal clearly did a terrific job of that, landing a top 10 class. And, you know, one of those position groups he needed to add depth to was wide receiver. Went out and identified 4 guys that he wanted to bring in this class. Well, unfortunately, 2 of them are injured. And then one of your returning starters is injured. So, you know, at the same time, you go and build depth and it gets better. But that is not an overnight thing. I mean, for Georgia to be where it's at, or at least where they think they're at, you know, that's taken, top 10 recruiting classes. I'd have to look, but it's probably been 5-6 years in a row that they've been able to do that. And Oregon's got 1, you know, under the belt. So all you can ask for is progress. I mean, in terms of college football, these coaches are, you know, fairly or unfairly judged on wins and losses ultimately. Nothing else really matters. They either win the game or they lose the game, and that's what we judge them on. But if you want a program to become like Clemson and Alabama, that didn't happen overnight. Nick Saban was not that successful his first year. It took Dabo Swinney 5-6 years to get Clemson on a respectable level to where they are now. It can get there, but if you are jumping on and saying Mario Cristobal should have this nailed depth-wise, talent-wise, everything in the second year, that's just an unreal expectation.
Justin Hopkins, ScoopDuck.com is our guest. That's his website. He's on Twitter at JHopkinsSD. We're talking Oregon camp here as their wide receivers are dealing with a little bit of injury stuff, getting ready for that Auburn game. You know, another element too is the offensive coordinator and Marcus Arroyo. And I haven't read too much about what he thinks with this pressure pack season. A lot of fans, I think, are putting that pressure out there because their offense was so different than what we're so accustomed to seeing in Eugene. But every time we talked to Cristobal last season, Justin, he always defended it. He said, oh, we're number 1 in this stat. We're number 2 in this stat. We're number 1 in that stat. I think he's playing the kind of football he wants to play. Now, if things don't go right, I could obviously see Arroyo being kind of the scapegoat here. But overall, it seems like his offense is what Mario Cristobal wants. So I'm just curious maybe what your thoughts are on expectations from Duck fans versus what you think we're going to see from Marcus Arroyo in year 2 as the OC.
So, you know, I think Marcus Arroyo is put in a difficult position of running his offense as a play caller, but obviously having very much of Mario Cristobal's fingerprints all over it. You're going to have to run the football and do a lot of that under Mario Cristobal's watch. But again, you sign up for that job and get the paycheck with it, so you got to make it work. I just recorded a podcast with Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, and he tells me the number one thing about an offense is scoring efficiency. And Oregon has struggled there a little bit the last couple of years. And the conversation was interesting, and I bring it in here because a lot of Oregon fans kind of consider Alabama football offense, at least, somewhat boring. It's a little better the last couple of years, but it's been somewhat boring comparing it to Chip Kelly. You know, we're used to 65 points, 70 mm-hmm. points, blur offense, all that stuff's fun. All that stuff is great. Makes for great highlights. It's a lot of fun to watch. But at the end of the day, it's scoring efficiency that wins football games. I'm not in Mario Cristobal's head, but I've got a feeling that if Dave Bartu knows that, I'm sure Mario Cristobal knows that. And I believe that he wants to have his offense at least somewhat mirror what Alabama is doing. Again, it might not be the sexiest thing or funnest thing to watch. They might not put up 70 points. I know it's kind of evolved a little bit with Tua back there and some other different guys. But at the end of the day, their staple is running the football and running the football really well. And I have a feeling that their number one metric as well is scoring efficiency. So if we can see Oregon improve that and Marcus Arroyo improve that, which they should, they were around 35th last year in that one key stat. You're returning your offensive line. You're returning your quarterback, who's a first rounder in the NFL. You've got all these things in your favor. I suppose at the end of the year, if that hasn't been accomplished, which we will very much know, obviously Mario Cristobal's got a decision on his hands at the end of this season.
Yeah, I think the fun part about every start of the college football season is you find out something new about a new player. You know, we don't get access to practice like some people do, and you kind of turn on that first game of the year. There's no preseason game, so the year just starts, and then a couple of guys burst onto the scene. Who are they? Are there a couple of guys that are sticking out to you, things you're hearing or seeing that maybe come that Auburn game or you know, maybe a month into the season, we're talking about insert player here as kind of a breakout star?
There is an absolute ton of talent that came in the 2019 recruiting class, just all over the place. Micah Pittman was one, which we very much know. Of course, he's injured. You know, we got to move on there. You've heard a lot about Jamal Hill and DJ James. James is a corner. Jamal Hill is a safety. And right now, that second spot next to Javon Holland at safety is a little bit wide open. I think Brady Breeze and Nick Pickett are really battling that out. But I could see James really inserting himself into that spot as this season progresses, you know, as he's able to continue practicing and getting reps. Another guy that didn't sign with the 2019 class that did play a little bit last year is Stephen Jones on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. I've heard he's had just a tremendous camp and is really, really pushing Dallas Warmack for that right guard spot, almost as a starter. So I know there's a very big battle going on there. I guess the key to that is, should there be an injury on offensive line, it sounds like they're in pretty good shape, you know, from one or two guys coming in, whether it's Stephen Jones or Brady Aiello. You know, Bryson Young is a guy that's been at Oregon for 4 years now. You know, defensive end, outside linebacker, kind of in that hybrid role. Absolute athletic freak, never been able to put it all together. But everything I've heard so far indicates he's kind of taken that next step and really seems to be a lock. Not a lock, but certainly battling for key time at that outside linebacker defensive end spot that we're going to see Andy Avalos kind of use. So those are a few of the names that come instantly to mind. You know, the other one, and I think he'll get his shot this year. We talk about Justin Herbert, but I think we'll get a chance to see Tyler Shuck this year, probably in some relief role, maybe against Nevada, Montana, those types of games. Mm-hmm. And the word is this kid's really primed and ready to be the guy after Justin Herbert.
Yeah, we had Dusty, who does our morning show. He had basically said that he'd heard him talk, and he likes himself him. He's one of those outgoing quarterbacks that has that confidence that you see with some guys, similar to some bigger name, you know, Baker, for example, of just guys who will talk, and they love to be in front of the camera and talk about the game. Justin Hopkins is our guest, scoopduck.com, on Twitter, at JHopkinsSD, for the latest from Oregon camp. J-Hop, thanks so much for hopping on with us today, man, and giving us the lowdown on what's going on with Oregon and their wide receivers.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.